Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, we hear a story from photographer and host of USA Today's Talking Tech, Jefferson Graham, about a celebrity interview he conducted that went terribly wrong.
Which led to a conversation about the iPhone, his camera of choice for making videos of the kids at home. I referred to them as babies. "What do you mean, baby?" he said. "Well, you just said you have small kids." "My kids are 4 and 7. They're not babies." And from that moment, I was doomed. The interview had gone south, and there was no returning from it.
Oh, man, that's tough. Today on the show, Talking Tech's Jefferson Graham shares stories about interviewing celebrities and one particular interview that went terribly wrong. Stay close.
Hey, it's Jefferson Graham from USA Today, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. I am so glad you guys tuned in today, whether you're a longtime fan of the show, 7.5 years. That's a long time, Jefferson.
It's a long time.
I mean, that in podcasting years, that's like 25 years.
2 years would be a really long time.
I'm telling you. Or if you guys are new listeners, welcome to Storyworthy. And Happy New Year, by the way. This is very exciting. 2018 is here, and, you know, it's going to get bigger, better, all those things, I think.
It will be the best year ever.
I hope you're right. From your mouth to the podcasting gods. Let's hope so. I hope you guys tuned in last week with comedian Rick Overton. Rick Overton always brings it. I think it's like the fourth story he's told on Storyworthy, and, you know, you just can't go wrong. And the thing I love about Rick Overton is he's on TV a lot, like in minor, not necessarily minor roles, but in character roles. So you'll just see him on Curb Your Enthusiasm and, oh, there he is on Modern Family. And he's a working actor, damn funny, amazing harmonica player, speaking of jazz, amazing harmonica player, and just an all-around great guy. So go back and listen to Rick Overton's episode of Storyworthy. But today, you've tuned in for a really interesting episode because I'm here at the USA Today studios in Los Angeles. What's happening? What's happening? USA Today? When I think of USA Today, I think about when I was a flight attendant from 1989 to 1997 or 96, and we gave the passengers USA Today's. That was the newspaper.
And we appreciated that.
Yeah, we gave out a lot of newspapers. I mean, you know, so it's like for 7 years, I only caught the news in like two paragraph summations.
That's the myth. That's the myth. Trust me, I've never done a 2-paragraph story.
Yeah. Oh, they're much longer.
They are.
Okay. So this is exciting. We're going to talk more about this because USA Today does bring up a lot of memories for me. I happen to actually do a couple of those opinions at the end. They put me in two. I sent them in. You know, they'll give it a question. It'll be like, you know, what do you think about welfare reform? And, of course, then I have no idea. So I'd call somebody who's older, and I'd ask them, and they'd tell me what to say. And I'd send, via the U.S. mail, I'd send in my response and my photograph. And then they would print it. They printed me twice, and they printed my dad once. Like, one time I did that for my dad as, like, a present to him. I sent in his photograph, and I guess I must have asked him the question. Yeah, it was about earthquakes. Anyway, and they printed him. So I'm a fan of the USA Today, and I'm here in the USA Today building with USA Today Tech Talk guy, Jefferson Graham. Hi, Jefferson Graham.
Hi.
You have an amazing show. It's a podcast. It's called Talking Tech with Jefferson Graham, which makes you like a tech guru, I think.
That's what they say.
And here's what I know about Talking Tech. You folks like the simple human trash can. That's what I know.
Yes, we do. We love our sponsors.
You know what? I love my sponsors as well. And Simple Human, I mean, they're not even my sponsor on Storyworthy, but I got to tell you, $150 trash can sounds insane. But then you get yourself one of those $150 trash cans and you think, I love my trash. You know what I mean?
Products for everybody.
It really does. It changes your life. Anyway, I've listened to a lot of Talking Tech and you really do have some great information. So I hope to hear about some of that today. But I really want to talk about, of course, the topic that you bring forth the Storyworthy today, which is called My Worst Interview Ever. And I have to tell you guys out there, this interview that Jefferson did with somebody, I'm going to let him tell you, but this interview that he did with this actor did not go well. It did not go well. And I'm not going to tell you more because it's his story. But, you know, I think about over the years, and, you know, you probably are my 465th guest on the show, Jefferson. So I've done this for a while, and I have had some uncomfortable moments. But, of course, I try to, you know, be prepared and then read the moment, you know, read the cues from the person as to whether they want to go down that way or not. But also I will say that, like, on my show Story Worthy, everything on this show is, you know, up and positive, and I'm never trying to, like, you know, put somebody in an aha moment. I'm not ever trying to do a gossipy show or something that would show anybody in a bad light. So that is being said, you know.
My story, just to let everybody know,
yeah,
was not an aha moment, was not trying to get anybody, was only trying to serve the topic of the show, which is called Talking Tech.
Right.
You walk in and you try to get somebody to talk tech with you.
Right, exactly.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Now, that's interesting, right, because I've done an episode of Talking Tech, the one that went up on December 12th, and we did not talk tech.
Well, we did. We talked about your equipment.
The Zoom microphone.
Yes.
Well, that, I'll tell you what, folks, I'm not, you know, if you want to know about the Zoom mic, you can go back and listen to Talking Tech, or you might get some better tutorials online. No, we talked about it, but
Talking Tech, for me, is also talking about your show.
That's true.
Right, which you can only hear via technology.
That's true. Well, let me just tell you a guffaw that I made recently in an interview with someone. And I'm not even sure why I asked this question, because it wasn't on my pages and I didn't even think of it until I was in the moment with him. And it was with Scott Ian from Anthrax. And Scott and I are actually only about 2 years apart. And we kind of grew up in the same way. I mean, he grew up in Queens, New York, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But we both kind of grew up in that era. Like, he felt like my brother when I was talking to him. Like, it just, I completely felt like I was with my brother, just this normal dude. And we were talking about Kiss and how much we both loved Kiss growing up.
The group Kiss, as opposed to somebody kissing you.
Right. The band Kiss, and how much we both just adored that band in the 70s and how it influenced us. And then I said, he talked about Gene Simmons, and then I said, you know, I heard Gene Simmons is an asshole. And then Scott, I could just feel the air change in the room, and he just closed off, and he goes, no, he's always been very kind to me. I have no problem with him whatsoever. And I was like, okay, I didn't mean, you know. So I felt a little bad, you know, even saying that. I didn't cut it out of the episode. I didn't feel that bad. But, I mean, you probably shouldn't tell anybody that maybe one of their friends is an asshole, because how do you know?
Except what you said was not exactly news, because he has a reputation.
Well, I think that's what I was thinking too, Jefferson. That's what I was thinking too. I wasn't just saying that blindly. Like, I heard, you know, yeah, your friend is this or that. I have heard some really vile stories about Gene Simmons.
All you had to do was listen to Fresh Air when he walked off in the middle of it.
No, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
With Terry Gross.
Right.
Why did he walk off?
I don't recall, but apparently it was pretty heated.
Yeah. Interesting. Wow. Okay. So, yeah, there you go. But when you are with somebody and they're giving you their time and, you know, especially like my show Story Worthy, it's personal when I interview people. It's not like I'm having a, you know, they're not coming through a press junket. They're not getting paid to talk to me. People are literally giving me their time. So I do want to make it worth their while, you know. Does that make sense, right?
Of course.
All right. Well, let's talk about how you blew this interview, man.
Oh, that's, thank you.
That's what I want to talk about. All right, you guys, before we get to Jefferson's story, I did want to remind you to head over to storyworthypodcast.com and join my mailing list, you know, because why not? Because, like, I'm a nice guy, and you like me, and I like you, so do that. Would you do that? Yes?
I'd even say you're a nice gal.
Thank you. See, yes. Jefferson, you care, and that matters. All right, you guys, don't forget to subscribe to Story Worthy as well on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. You know all the places. And by subscribing, you are giving me your support. And at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. Okay, you guys, he's here right now, Jefferson Graham. He is a technology columnist for USA Today and also a photographer and a podcaster and a jazz guitarist. And I find that fascinating. I mean, because you're a really good jazz guitarist.
Well, thank you, Christine.
I mean, so you must have started out when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
And how many guitars do you own?
8.
Yeah, see, you're a guitar guy. If it's over 5, they're guitar guys. In my head, that's...
but it's one that I love.
And that is the?
It's a Spanish string nylon guitar. I love.
Really?
Yeah.
So do you do like a flamenco on that or something? Or
I play standards,
wow.
Jazz standards.
How beautiful. Maybe we'll play something.
I brought a steel string today.
Okay.
And we'll play a song.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, Jefferson Graham, he covers consumer technology and he hosts the popular Talking Tech podcast for USA Today. He's also the author of nine books. Unbelievable. You guys can find more out about him at his website, jeffersongraham.net, and also on Twitter, at Jefferson Graham. And I got to tell you, some of his photography is specifically stunning. So go over and check that out. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jefferson Graham.
So figure that any year I'm good for at least 500 interviews. Most of them are short form, some in depth, but all following the basic gist. I ask questions, you answer, I listen, and keep the conversation moving. I've been at this for over 3 decades, including the time, Christine, that you were a flight attendant. I was banging out stories for USA Today. And I can tell you that whenever I meet people, after they ask me what kind of camera to buy, they will follow up with this chestnut, your best and worst interview ever. Okay? Or who is really nice and really mean? So I usually skirt the last question and just tell them about the best, because there have been way more of the best than the worst. The worst are a handful. Now, people are generally on their best behavior for interviews, and when the subject is all about them, they are more than happy to oblige, especially celebrities. Now, when I began at USA Today, I was covering television, which meant that I interviewed a lot of TV and movie stars, everyone from Jerry Seinfeld and David Letterman to George Clooney and Sophia Loren. I switched to covering tech in 2000 and have my share of notable names, Steve Jobs, Arianna Huffington, both of the co-founders of Google, Facebook's Sheryl Sandberg, and Snap Inc. CEO Evan Spiegel. For 4 years, I did a celebrity edition of Talking Tech as a video series once a week, interviewing actors, musicians, comedians, and other notables about their favorite gadgets, websites, and Twitter techniques. That was the format of the show. So picking the favorites from that crew is pretty easy. Comedian J.B. Smoove had us in stitches in the interview as he improvised on me and made fun of my clothing. You know him from Curb Your Enthusiasm. He was just as funny with us. Singer Jason Mraz was nice enough to close the interview, which we did live on stage at an industry trade show, by letting me pick up a guitar and play along with him on his signature hit, I'm Yours. It was a day I will never, ever forget. The guy was so nice. So those two easily top any list, along with Kermit the Frog, who is always fun. And he sang along with me when I did a song with him as well. The worst ever, I'm going to name a bunch of them as I lead to, yes, the worst ever, or at least so it seemed at the time. So the worst ever, I'm going to reveal a bunch of them as I lead to, yes, the worst ever, or at least so it seemed at the time. Aretha Franklin was a huge get and a big disappointment for me. The Queen of Soul, one of the greatest singers of all time, and I crammed for it, coming up with a list of 40 great questions to ask her about her historic records. At the time, I was a reporter for a syndicated radio show called Soundtrack of the 60s. Again, the format issue. I wanted to hear about Respect and Sock It to Me. She wanted to talk about an awful new album from the 80s and declined all questions about the 60s, despite that being the topic of the show. Later on, at the height of the Cosby Show, I spent several days with Bill Cosby, who is now perceived as a monster. He couldn't have been nicer to me during all that time. But what you haven't seen in any of the Cosby coverage, though, is how he rambles. The guy talks and talks and talks. Occasionally there's a gem, but mostly there's not. I mean, I had reams and reams of mostly worthless notes. How he put those comedy albums together, those classics, is a big mystery. Okay?
Maybe they were edited.
Oh, clearly. Now, Jason Alexander from Seinfeld was perfectly enjoyable during our interview, but he didn't like it when it came out, to the point where when he was starring in a TV remake of Bye Bye Birdie in Vancouver, and I was set to cover it for a feature, he said I couldn't be on the set on the days that he was working. Thank you, Jason Alexander. Don Henley from the Eagles was such a pill that when I interviewed him, and I love Don Henley and I love the Eagles, he began every question with a sigh, as in, this is such a stupid question. And then when I ran into him at a Grammys party and introduced myself, he said he remembered me, not fondly, and that he hated the article and walked away. Thank you, Don. I'd like to embellish it and say that he threw water at me or something evil, but the truth is he didn't. Just daggers from his eyes. Joni Mitchell was the same way, really defensive, this despite the fact that I was then and still am a major, major Joni Mitchell fan, but there was nothing I could do to turn it around. She was convinced I was out to get her. The truth is, you ask questions to get quotes. Like, I really like how you did four-part harmony on that song. Is that new? To which he replied, I've done it so many times before. The talk show host Wendy Williams called to tell me about her new Wendy app and how excited she was about it. So I asked her the obvious question. Christine, what would you ask somebody when they tell you that they have a new app? You say, well, in preparing to design the app, which apps did you look to for inspiration? She told me she'd never used an app before. I said, come on, Wendy. She said, no, I'm being serious. And then she said this.
You are disgusted with me right now, aren't you, Jeff?
I am not. But I want you to really spend time with your phone. I want you to spend time with your phone and learn about the apps.
I don't want to get brain cancer.
Oh, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're doing okay.
The talk show host Larry King was a total pill. The name of the show is Talking Tech, and he agreed to meet me at his studio where the former CNN talk show host has a new gig on Aura TV. His show was carried on Hulu, the streaming service, so there was this expectation that he might maybe one day turn a computer on, read an email, send a text, something for us to talk about. Not so. He told me this during an interview with a straight face. He said that he dictated tweets to an assistant and will only respond to emails if his wife reads them aloud to him first.
Wow.
I left there dumbfounded. I even called him the next day to make sure that he wasn't kidding. And he wasn't. All right. My interview with Patrick Stewart, the great British actor who starred as Captain Picard on Star Trek The Next Adventure, was also a challenge. He had just starred in a 4-hour remake of Moby Dick. And in the interview, he wanted to know what I thought of it. Well, here's the deal. My opinion was irrelevant. I was there to ask Stewart about the making of the show, why he wanted to do it, and whatever stories he could tell me about the production, period. Plus, a dirty secret about those of us who cover TV or have covered TV for a daily newspaper. We are busy during the day writing stories, not watching television. I didn't have 4 hours to spare to bone up on Moby Dick. I could watch a sitcom. I could do 20-minute sitcom, but not a 4-hour miniseries on Moby Dick. I just couldn't. So he asked me what I thought of the show, and I did what I always did around actors. It was great. I loved it. Really, he said. What was your favorite scene? It's kind of hard for me to pick. Tell me about your favorite scene. I'd love to know what you would pick. With actors, vamping like that always worked until my October 2012 morning with Joel McHale. At the time, the actor-comedian was starring in a low-rated but fan-loved series called Community, and I prepared for the interview the way I always did for the Celebrity Talking Tech episodes by researching McHale's digital footprint. Where was he active? Making viral videos with Ryan Seacrest for Ford. Good. His busy Twitter feed. Great. Anything we could talk about that was digital. I put my questions together and dashed out at 9 a.m. to set up at 10 a.m. and do the interview at 11. We met at the set on the Paramount Studios lot where my producer and I placed our cameras, lighting, and sound in position on the Community set. Now, I knew we were in trouble when McHale walked in and took a seat on a director's chair in a ski parka with a frown on his face. Would you like to take that off for the interview, I asked. No, it's cold. Okay. Then the publicist said, it's time to start recording and you have 10 minutes. Now that doesn't sound like much, but for a video that will be edited, it's plenty. Okay, we start recording. Joel, thanks for being here in the Arctic, I said, trying to explain to the viewer why McHale was wearing his parka. Yeah, I'm freezing. It's really cold here, he said. I jumped in, started asking him about the viral videos and what kind of cameras he used to shoot them, which led to a conversation about the iPhone, his camera of choice for making videos of the kids at home. I referred to them as babies. What do you mean, baby? He said, well, you just said you have small kids. My kids are 4 and 7. They're not babies. And from that moment, I was doomed. The interview had gone south, and there was no returning from it. Now, I will say that I was not armed with enough material to get us out of it. I had not spent enough time researching. I kept asking silly questions about his favorite apps, and he would have none of it. Then I brought up Community and said, what, this is what, the 4th year of the show, 5th year? That's when he lost it. He smelled that I knew very little, and he went for it. Do you know what Community is about? I said, yeah, it's about a community. You win the award, he said to me, to which I finished, the stupidest interviewer ever. And Joel McHale wins my award, too, for hands down the worst interview of my life. My fault, 100%, for not coming in with better questions, for not taking the time to see even one episode of his TV show. How hard could it have been? And not being more attuned to dealing with a heckler. Winging it can work 99% of the time. Until it doesn't, lessons learned, really. So now, Christine, ask me anything. Let's see how you did your research.
Well, specifically with Joel McHale, was that part of a press junket for him? I mean, were other people coming on the set?
No. It was they gave me time during the production day to interview him.
So in other words, this is his regular day of work and he is shooting his show. And then somebody's going to come up to him and say, hey, Joel, can we get you for 15 minutes over here because you're going to be interviewed by Talking Tech, that guy who's coming from USA Today.
Right.
So he knows this is all happening.
That's right.
And this isn't the end of the day.
No, it was in the morning.
So in other words, he was going to be there. You weren't keeping him from leaving the studio or something.
No.
I was thinking at first because, you know, his coat was on because he's on his way out of the door.
No, he was just cold.
I see. And do you know that if he knew what your show was?
I always have to assume that sometimes they had no idea. That they would tell them and they go, yeah. But they really didn't know. I hadn't seen his. He clearly hadn't seen mine.
Right. It's just if the title of the show is Talking Tech, that is very specific.
Yeah. It used to scare people. It used to scare. Like if you're if you're going to interview a celebrity, they say, oh, I don't know anything. I said, well, you know enough. And they said, no.
Well, technology, people aren't as afraid as they used to be. But, obviously there's a fear there in general because it's changed.
That I'm going to ask some serious hardcore tech questions, which, of course, I wasn't doing. The show is built for a consumer audience.
Yeah, and it's all on the up and up. Everybody's friendly. Everybody's happy. You're not going to trick somebody and say, what do you mean you don't know what your Prime account
exactly.
thing is? Right. Okay, so it does seem like you going in, you're just running it like any other interview. I can't believe, by the way, you've done over 500, 600, 1,000 now. How many interviews now?
No, I gave you for the year.
500 for the year.
Just figure there's 365, there's 20 work days, right?
Yeah.
2 interviews a day. That's, what do we got?
Wow.
That brings me to 500.
So you must be very happy with USA Today.
I love my days. I love my work. It's so much fun.
I'm so happy for you, really.
I wake up every morning at 5:30 with a smile on my face, ready to just jump in.
Well, I would be too. This is a fabulous career you have going. I just am so impressed by the number. I guess it went right by me when you said 500 interviews a year. So you've interviewed thousands of people.
Well, any given day, this is what I do. You call people.
And and these are short little interviews.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel should have known walking in. It's only 10 minutes. I mean, you're not going to get too far into anything. How could you? Now, that all being said, if I was walking on the set of any show, I definitely would know that show, even if it was just YouTube, 2 clips.
Of course.
You don't need to watch a whole episode. You watch 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Like I said, I own it. It's my fault.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I
guess I'm just saying, you might have gone to – did you go to joelmchale.com?
I don't know that there is a Joel McHale. I look for anything I could get to talk to people about.
Yeah, you did because you went to his, like you said, digital footprint, meaning you went to his viral videos.
That's
you went to his Twitter. And, of course, Twitter is huge.
Right.
And everybody who's on TV uses it as a source of – growing their own brand and their community, as it were. So you did do those things. He was in a bad mood walking into that, quizzing you. And like you said, he smelled that you didn't know.
And went for it. You were a comedian and you are a comedian. So you know what it's like, pity the person in the front row and the comedian finds that person and finds something and will not let that person alone, right?
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. I don't really see it happen that often, but obviously it's about the comedian on stage and what he's bringing to the table, you know, because you can play it any way you want. I mean, Joel McHale could have played it just like, you know, look, you obviously haven't seen the show, but let's talk about tech. You know, he could have turned it and not cared that you didn't see the show.
He really relished the fact that he had me.
He really did. He really did, man. When I first saw the clip that you showed me, my mouth was hanging open because he really does nail you to the wall. It seems so personal.
Yeah. It was fun to live through.
Wow. I'm telling you. And when something like that happens, do you have to then go back to USA Today and say, hey, this is what happened? Or do you just cut around it and put it out like normal?
I cut around it and put it around. I didn't think there was any way that I could present me screwing up as in the normal guise of the show. I just didn't want to do that.
Right.
Because I had enough material that I could make it, you know.
Well, right. And at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about him. Yeah. And so you have to make it just fit the scenario because, you know, it's interesting between me and you and our and the story where the audience, because it's gossip and it's really like a peek behind the curtain as to what really goes on. But yeah, your actual show, I guess you just put out the content that you got to put out. But can you share with my audience what he said at the end when he said, hey, it's Joel McHale and you're listening to Talking Tech?
He said, hello, I'm Chevy Chase and you're watching Talking Tech. We always ask the celebrity to announce their name and you're watching Talking Tech. And everyone said yes. Nobody ever said no.
Right.
And for some reason he thought, I think he was giving me comedy talk and he thought it'd be funny to say that.
I think he was trying to bug you.
Yeah. We can just run the clip.
We can run the clip. Let's try it now.
This show that we're at now, Community, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, I'm not sure.
Wow, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
We are in our fourth year.
Fourth year.
Okay. Do you know what the show's about?
I don't quiz me.
Do you have any idea what the show's about?
It's on NBC.
That's not what it's about.
Chevy Chase is in it, too.
That's a location. That's a person who is participating.
It's about a community.
That's a word, a community of what?
People.
Wow.
Yeah.
You win the award for knowing the least about the show than anyone who's ever come to the show.
Thank
That's
you.
Hilarious.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Like so if you were a Modern Family, you would say this is about
a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are way...
Three families.
You're very up
three
on technology.
Three families, though.
So you watched that one.
Never seen it.
But you know
but
about
it's three families.
Yeah. As opposed to just a community of people.
I'm just sitting in front of my computer. Do me a favor. Look at this camera and say, I'm Joel McHale and you're watching USA Today Talking Your Tech. Do you do that?
Hi, I'm Chevy Chase and you're watching USA Today Talking
Your Tech.
Okay, so now we know. Listen, I felt for you, man. My heart was just going out to you. It really was. Have you seen Community by any chance since? I'm just curious.
No,
absolutely not. Yeah.
I know interest.
I hear you. I heard that Don Henley was difficult, by the way. I've heard that before.
Brilliant songwriter. Great singer.
Right.
Yeah.
But I've heard he's tough.
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah. Now, I'm very disappointed to hear about my boyfriend, Larry King.
Are you?
I love Larry King.
He's fine. He just shouldn't have been on Talking Tech.
How can I get a hold of him? Are you going to help me do that? Can you help me find Larry King? Like, I'm willing to go and sit at Nate and Al's at the Delicatessen and just wait for him to show up. I'm willing.
Well, as you know, we go through people to arrange these interviews.
I know.
And I don't know if the person that I went through is even still at Hulu.
That is so true. You know, everybody has people, and the jobs are always moving, and so nobody's really ever staying for any long period of time. So the contact you have might, of course, be irrelevant. Who's your contact for Joel McHale? No, I'm kidding.
trying to remember her name yesterday.
Oh, that's too funny.
Worked at a PR firm.
Here's the thing with Larry King, though, in technology, and I'm going to defend my boyfriend right now. He's 85, okay? So if he doesn't want to play the Twitter game and type out with his, you know, his fingers that could be arthritic, I'm not sure.
Oh.
I understand he can
He can do anything he wants to do, but don't accept the interview. If you're going on Talking Tech for me to ask you questions about your favorite apps and the tools that you use, don't come on the show.
Wait a minute. Larry King didn't have – he wasn't the problem with the apps. That wasn't
he had
him.
Nothing. No. He
doesn't have a phone. He doesn't read email.
But that's fascinating. No, I think that that was a very honest conversation because for his age, in his generation, he's telling you, I'm a public figure and I know I have to be out there in some respects. And here's what I do. I just tell my assistant or I just tell my wife to read it to me. I dated a guy who asked me to read his emails to him because he didn't like to read. He would use the voice activator thing. Because he didn't like to read it.
Okay.
Look, I'm just saying, Larry King, for me, for some reason, I have such an affinity to him.
He could have been in the exact same situation that I was in with Joel McHale because he had a policy about not reading and not doing any research. Now, that's different for me. But he said he is the voice of the viewer. The viewer doesn't know anything, so go ahead, tell him about it.
Yeah, and he is a very naturally curious person, and he just seems like on the show to once again, kind of show everybody in a good light. It seems all up and up and honest, and I hope I'm not disappointed.
Have you seen him on Aura TV?
Yes, I have. I watch a lot of his interviews, a lot, yeah. When I'm cruising through Hulu, I'll stop and just see who he's interviewing, and if it's somebody I want to hear from, then I definitely stop. Like recently, he had on Yardley Smith from The Simpsons.
Right.
Anyway, so that was a good interview, for example. Tell me about Joni Mitchell again. Now, what was the circumstance there?
Well, the circumstance is that for a 2-year period, I also covered music. I did music interviews for USA Today.
Right.
She had a new album out. I went to interview her.
Sure.
For the new album.
You must have been thrilled.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Big fan.
Yeah.
Huge.
And she was just not having
it. Just defensive.
Just not having
it. It just was one of those days.
Did you go to her house?
No, manager's office.
Oh, that's
Sunset
tough.
Boulevard.
So that's tougher, right? Because she's not in her element.
Yeah.
My experience is that when I interview people in their homes, that's where they're the most comfortable. Do you find that?
It's good. I've done them everywhere. The restaurant interview.
That's tough, don't you think?
I don't like the restaurant interview.
Yeah, because you hear all the clinking glasses and you're disturbed.
Yeah. I mean, I think a manager interview can be okay. The manager office interview can be okay, just depending on what mood they're in. Now, when somebody has a new album, they're going to do 10 interviews in a day, and it's like one after the next.
Yeah.
So it could be that the person before me had really bothered her.
Pissed them off, yeah. Well, sure, that could happen in a minute. Absolutely. That Wendy Williams, that really is discouraging that she didn't even know what – she didn't listen to any apps or watch any apps. That's really discouraging.
It was another way to make money. Somebody said, hey.
You should do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see right through that, man. That bums me out. You know, it's like somebody who all of a sudden has a makeup line. They have no interest in makeup, and now they have a makeup line. Like, what are you talking about? Or a fitness line. That doesn't make sense. Hey, listen, as a jazz guitarist, when Jason Mraz said, come on, pick up your guitar with me, you must have been so thrilled.
Well, first of all, it was prearranged.
I see.
It was prearranged that he was going to, because I interviewed him on stage.
I see.
At a music industry convention where playing songs. I interviewed somebody else on that stage and they said, shut up and play a song.
Oh, funny. Okay.
It's expected. So it was, they didn't tell me what song we were going to play.
Oh,
just
wow.
That I was going to play a song with him. And so I was just like cramming, learning all of his songs.
But I'm Yours is definitely one of the most popular.
So when I got there, he said, what song do you want to do? I said, can we do I'm Yours? He says, sure.
Wow.
What key you want to do it in? I said, whatever key you want to do it in. He says, how's B? I said, B is great.
Wow. That's so impressive. And that you can just, your mind just goes, and you can do it in B.
Sure.
I'm impressed. Well, I know.
Or A or G or F.
Listen, I've been playing guitar since I was 12. It took me 3 years to learn to tune it. I mean, I'm just saying, like, some people are naturally gifted in music. It sounds like you are.
It's an easy song.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, Jason Mraz stuff, he has a lot of chord changes. A lot of things are moving along. It's not like it's G, C, and D for sure.
I mean, it's B and F sharp and in A sharp minor and E.
But he's moving his hand up and down the neck of that guitar. No, he's all
great.
Over the place.
He just joined the cast of The Waitress musical in New York.
That's fantastic.
I would love to see that.
I would also like to see Bruce Springsteen
on Broadway.
In his Broadway show. Can you imagine?
Let's go.
I'd love to see that. I have tickets for Hamilton on Sunday night.
Congratulations.
I'm very excited about it.
How much did you pay?
It was a gift, but it was my ex-husband, who's the best ex-husband I could ever ask for, bought me those two tickets for Christmas, and he got them for $225 each.
Very good.
Yeah, for me and my daughter, so it's going to be great. I'm excited. Okay, so listen, I want to ask you a few more questions, and then we're going to wrap it up if you can play some guitar music in a little bit. But let me just ask you, so, you know, you've met all these interesting people. You have such a, you know, 30 years of experience, thousands of interviews. What do you do for fun?
I'm a photographer and a guitarist. And I walk to the beach, and that's my life.
So you just walk to the beach and take photos over and over again, the same, pretty much the same images.
But, you know, I'm looking forward to this great challenge. I'm looking forward to doing a great portrait of you. Now, I shouldn't have said a challenge because that
Oh, it's going to be a challenge.
No.
I'm already feeling challenged.
Uh-huh. I'm looking forward to doing some great portraits of you today hopefully it'll be your favorite photo ever.
That's so kind of you. It's very hard to get, for me personally, to have my image captured is hard. It has gotten easier over the years, but I will tell you, when I first started, the first photo shoot, as it were, I ever did, I was 21, and it left me devastated in tears because I didn't understand to just try to be myself. So I was always putting on, like, the 10, like, the big smile. And the photographer would say, no, just relax, and you don't have to, you know. And then I would try, and it was always wrong. Like, I felt like I was wrong. And so the pictures turned out horrible. My eyes are watering. So over the years, I've tried to pick up tips on how to get your photo taken well. And here's what somebody told me once. You want to, obviously, you're trying to be natural. You're trying to, you know, make a connection with a camera. But they've said, you want to laugh, and you want to say, like, oh, get out of here. Like, this is how you're kind of saying it in your head. And as you're doing that, you want to put your eyes around the clock. So you're going from 12 to 11 to 10 to 9 to 8. And at the same time, you're saying, oh, get out of here. Your eyes are moving along a clock. And it doesn't work. That doesn't work.
Okay, but let's try it today. See how it goes.
So what do you recommend to people? Like, when you're taking people's picture, talent, what do you say?
I relax and I come up with some poses, and hopefully one of them will work. I don't think there's any magic that you could. I think a lot of it's the posing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of magic to it. Because when you see, you know, on your website, jeffersongraham.net, you have pictures of celebrities, but only one each.
Yeah, editing.
And I think that's really a huge skill to capture their perfect essence in one shot. When you take photos, how many are you generally looking at?
I generally take 2,000 every weekend.
Jefferson, are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Really?
Yeah.
So your photography passion is a very solo sport, as it were. This is just you.
Well, or taking pictures of people.
Right. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there must be so much editing and so much going through these photos.
There's a lot of editing.
So you must spend hours just whipping through photos.
Yes.
Okay, so what I'm saying then is, what is it that stops you on a photo? And how do you get to, like, that one photo of Ricky Gervais, or that one photo of Namur, the comedian, or that one photo of all those amazing photos you've taken? How do you decide on, that's the one of Ariana Grande, that's the one I'm using?
Eyes. I mean, my eyes, I just know when I look at it, which one.
Wait,
like.
Their eyes?
No, my eyes.
You're right. But what are you looking for?
I can't tell you. I would look at it and then know.
God damn it, Jefferson.
Sorry.
That doesn't help me.
Yeah. How do you know when a good story is a good story? You know a good story because it sings to you.
I know a good story because I want to say, and then what? And if I keep saying, and then what, I'm in. If somehow I'm not saying, and then what, then you didn't capture me. So it's very personal, as you know. I mean, knowing your audience.
I don't think I could tell you a difference. I mean, you can't quantify good photo versus bad photo because there are no rules.
Hmm.
It's whatever you think. I know what I like. You know what you like. There's no such thing as a bad movie. Is it really a bad movie, or did you not like it?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of bad movies. Did you see Mother last year? Actually, I love that movie. Darren Aronofsky, that was off the hook crazy. Did you see it?
I did not see it.
It wouldn't
have made my list.
I'll tell you that.
But I love Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
That was great.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I hear what you're saying, that it's all in the eye of the beholder and et cetera. But when I look at your photos at jeffersongraham.net, I see why you chose that photo. Because I see, when I look at those celebrities, I see what you are capturing. And it just comes through fast and hard to me. So I do think that's correct.
Okay.
But then again, I didn't see the others. So maybe that's part of it.
I had multiple great shots of J.B. Smoove.
Oh, man. Yeah. He's so funny. You know, now the way that the world is going, the state of the affair, and Trump, and I can't – sometimes I just turn off all the news, shut the computer, and I just binge Curb Your Enthusiasm because he is so funny on that show. He's just – it's just such a reprieve.
I know. It's so great that a show could come back 9 years later and just
I know.
There it is.
They just wrapped the 9th season with Lin-Manuel.
Right.
He was just on it, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Super funny. Anyway, Jefferson, thank you so much
sure.
for coming on
Anytime.
Today. And I'm sorry about that interview happened, but it made me laugh. It really gave everybody a look at what can go wrong.
Yeah.
Bummer,
ask
man.
Somebody the wrong question and boom.
Yikes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go get my guitar.
Go do that. All right, you guys. While Jefferson goes and gets his guitar, I got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Let Jefferson know that you liked his story and head over to jeffersongraham.net and check out his photographs. I'm telling you, they're amazing. And also find him at Talking Tech with Jefferson Graham on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you hear your podcasts. And join us next week on Storyworthy for the one and only Phil Rosenthal talking about his new show on Netflix, Somebody Feed Phil, and having frozen yogurt with comedian Elaine May.
I said, you like frozen yogurt? She says, I never had it. I said, what do you mean you never had it? She looks and she sees in the shop the machines and people are serving themselves. This is the new thing. I said, like a grandpa.
Don't miss the incredible Phil Rosenthal next week on Storyworthy. And what you're hearing right now, you guys, is actually Jefferson playing his jazz guitar. Yes, that's him right there. So not only is this guy an author and a photographer and a writer and a jet setter, and not only is he everywhere, but he has this passion for guitar, and that's what you're hearing right now. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez and everyone on the Wondery team. And on behalf, one more time, of the very talented Jefferson Graham, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story worthy.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.